Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
She meant fantasy football. Those kind of fantasies.
Precisely.
What were you guys thinking? It's Jhené Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 2 hours coming in hot tonight as we take you up to coverage of Celtics and Heat, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, getting ready to tip off tonight. We will have that coverage beginning on ESPN after we get off air at 6 o'clock p.m. And certainly looking forward to that. We got the two best words in sports tonight yet again, Jhené. Game seven, another one, and some interesting legacy conversation at stake that we don't often get to with this group that I'm excited about. But we also did have a Monday Night Football doubleheader last night. And how about first a shout-out to our crews? Like, we had the new Monday Night crew. We talked to Steve Levy yesterday as a part of that crew with Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick, and Lisa Salters. But shout-out to our college crew going up there. Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, Maria Taylor holding it down for Game 1 Giants-Steelers last night.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have to give extra love to our sis Maria Taylor because you don't want to mess with her. Mm-mm. Like, you don't want to mess with her. Keep that same energy, Maria. I think we'll circle back to that at the end of the
day. Yeah. You know what? Like, not the one to try.
Don't
now
try
or ever. And people learn that the hard way at their own speed, apparently. But there was a lot of learning last night. We talked about going into Monday Night Football last night. We had the doubleheader. Giants Steelers were the early game last night. Titans and Broncos, the late game. The Titans get a win, the Steelers get a win, and Jhené, as we looked at the first game and trying to figure out what to make, we had two quarterbacks that we had to learn a lot about. Daniel Jones, the Giants' top pick from last year, going into year two as a starter, but outshined by Ben Roethlisberger, coming back from an injury, an elbow injury last year. And Jhené, you know this all too well. There's a lot of uncertainty for a player coming off an injury like that to something as important as a throwing arm, and for Ben, I think you could see some of those jitters showing up early for him.
Yeah, there is uncertainty, but then also you just are anxious because you're so excited to be back there, back out there. And I think we saw that with Ben. If you told me that Ben would have more yards rushing than Saquon, I'd be like, what? Like, I'm going to take that money to the bank. Ben had 9 yards, Saquon. I think it was more so the Steelers defense that sort of did a great job there. But like thinking of Ben and his production, I was super impressed. He was accurate and it just seemed like a good start for the Steelers.
It was a good start for him. It was a lot of what we expected Ben to get back to, but our own Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst, said the nerves are understandable given everything that went into this moment.
You kind of expected him to start slow, which he did, but once he hit that pass to Eric Ebron, it was a 3rd and 6, second quarter, gets a little bit of pressure. I felt like his rhythm picked up from that point on. And you saw in the highlights earlier when he pulls the ball down and goes and runs, runs for a first down, gets up smiling. It went back to the normal Ben, right? And you watched also how that affected their run game. Last year, they struggled in the run game. Ben Roethlisberger back. All of a sudden, defenses can't play up. Benny Snell gets 113 yards. So it paid dividends not only for the receivers, but for the run game and that offensive line as well. So 3 touchdowns your first week back. You got to be pretty happy if you're Ben Roethlisberger.
Jhené Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and certainly some concerns to get to with the Giants, their run game, and what we can expect from that unit during this season, and some, quite frankly, for the Steelers, based more on injury that we'll get to from last night. But Jhené, there was a moment, and Juju Smith-Schuster mentioned this, Brooke Pryor, who's a reporter for us for the Pittsburgh Steelers, talked about this and heard from Juju after. It was that 2-minute drill where, from Juju's eyes, Ben really locked back in and started to look more like the guy that he expected. I was in training camp as a rookie with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're around there during the offseason program, and Ben, you know, he's a veteran. He's not doing a ton around there, but we're getting ready to install 2-minute one day, and it's all these code words, and everything's moving fast, and all of us rookies are just trying to keep our head above water, and they had Ben come out and run one series with the starters, and we had all been trying to get everything down. We're running up to the line, nervous, looking at each other, over-communicating. And then we all watched from the sideline as dude went out there and just effortlessly ran through it like it was basically the language he was born speaking. And you realize when you get a quarterback with this kind of veteran savvy, and we said this for young quarterbacks, for quarterbacks coming off injury, just getting back in that mode where you're doing the thing that comes natural to you, commanding an offense, marching downfield, seemed to really settle him last night.
Yeah, and those are the moments you go back to when you're a competitor. You think about those reps that you've had that give you the confidence despite the nerves, despite the unprecedented situation and scenario in which they're playing. But one thing I've sort of seen as an overall theme, because all games are done in week one, is sometimes less is more. You know, just taking your time and easing into the game. We saw him do that, and then you can lock in and feel like yourselves. You know, when you deal with an injury, it's sort of like you wait for that time where you're like, you fall to the ground for the first time. I remember our producer, Shannon, was talking about, like, oh, you saw him, like, shift, you know, his body weight and was like, ooh, I'm old, but I'm not, you know, I still got it. There are going to be moments that you remember that sort of help you propel yourself to feeling back to who you are. And I think we saw that in real time. But most importantly, I think we saw a guy that realized in this scenario, less is more. Like, let the game come to me. Let me start making my reads. And I think we saw a lot of other quarterbacks on the other end, specifically Daniel Jones, that sometimes go for the home run play. And that's not necessarily what will help you, especially week one in a scenario where you're dealing with injuries. But most importantly, you're dealing with a very different looking season with limited reps, no preseason. So I saw Ben as a guy who sort of let the game come to him, and it really worked out for him in the end.
It really did. And I think for the Steelers now, we looked at them as, all right, were they one of the teams in the AFC with that unknown coming back now at quarterback that could surprise a lot of people? And I think certainly encouraging results from that side for Ben Roethlisberger, for the Steelers defense, certainly. When you limit Saquon Barkley to 6 yards on 15 carries, you're doing something right. I don't care about the O-line issues. I know that they're there. That's still a testament to that defense. But on the other side, we saw James Conner go down with what I believe was an ankle injury. Zach Banner, unfortunately, go down with what looked like an injury that might cost him a fair amount of time here. I'm not sure if I've seen official word on that, but we'll get to it. The injuries up front for them could be pretty tough, because on the other side, Marcus Spears points this out, that defense looks championship ready.
I got to compliment their defense coordinator, Keith Butler. He made one point. He said Saquon Barkley will not win this game for the New York Giants. They created penetration at the line of scrimmage, and obviously Watt and Bud Dupree and Cam Hayward, all of those guys had really good games. But when you look at defenses play like this, and there's going to be this ongoing question of, can this defense carry him? Yes. If Ben Roethlisberger and this team can put up 20-something-odd points, high 20s, 30 points, it's going to be extremely hard for teams to beat them with this defense.
Now, on the other side of that, Shanae, you mentioned the team that was going against this defense, Daniel Jones and that Giants offense that had an abysmal time trying to establish any ground game. But I feel like it comes down to this. You had the one extended drive. The Giants look like they're on the cusp. And then Bud Dupree hits Daniel Jones while he's throwing Cam Hayward interception, and the game turns from there. So often it seems like with Daniel Jones, great production. He looks strong. He looks in control of a lot of this Jason Garrett offense. But again, carry over from last year, avoiding the catastrophic play is going to be the key for him developing now.
Yeah, you know, with fresh eyes watching Daniel Jones, it was interesting because everything was trending for him in the right direction. It feels like a lot of times it was two steps forward, and then there was one major step back, especially throwing that interception at the goal line. Like, it's one of those things where it's not just the interception, but it's how it goes down. Just pretty much throwing like a lob where you know that it's almost in basketball where you don't save the ball under your own basket. So, it was just a tough start, but there's the frustrating part is that there's glimmers of hope. Like, you see the potential, you see the speed, like you see a lot of things there, but then it's the big arrows that really end up costing you the most.
It is, and it's adjustment and execution in front of him that's also going to go a long way in that. The Steelers blitzed him 29 times last night, the second most by a player in the last two seasons for Daniel Jones, and accounted for 20 pressures over the course of the night.
Yep.
And if you don't do something as a line to stop those pressures early on, as a coaching staff to mitigate those pressures, you're going to get a lot of it, and you're going to get it often. And that's what they saw, and that's what they can expect going forward if they're not going to shut that stuff down.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're a Giants fan, right?
I am.
How panicked are you?
If you are a Giants fan,
okay, that's what I'm saying.
Hypothetical.
I was going to say,
I grew up in an Eagles household, so that's a bit
of sacrilege. I like that. I'm here for that. If you are a Giants fan, how panicked are you?
If I'm a Giants fan, I am panicked because these problems look familiar, because the offense showed a lack of desire from the jump to push the pedal in key situations. That 4th-and-1 early on where they decided to let the clock run down, try and draw the defense offside, I thought you had a chance to set a tone that could have resonated for a team with a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach, and you punted on that, and instead a lot of the same old problems showed up. So there is definite concern in New Orleans.
Now, if... Yeah, in New York. Now, if you are on the other end, obviously we talked about the issues, especially with the line, the O-line. How excited are you to be a Steelers fan?
I'm excited to be a Steelers fan. I'm concerned about the health of the O-line up front and how that could affect our team going forward if I am a Steelers fan. Benny Snell looked great in James Conner's absence last night. They continue to hit on wide receivers in the draft because that's just what they do. So the Steelers' cautious optimism, because you worry about the toll of injury early on a group that needs to protect a quarterback who is coming back from big-time injury. We've got a big-time guest list today. Again, two-hour show taking you up to start of the Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics and Heat Game 1. Chinay Ngola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guest list for today, Miles Boykin.
Yes.
Ravens wide receiver, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish receiver, going to join us at 4:30. Comedian Hannibal Buress going to hang out with us at 4:45. Pumped to talk to him. And Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, at 5:30. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 2 hours on demand in the ESPN app. But coming up next, we mentioned it, Game 7 tonight. What's on the line, and why aren't we judging Kawhi the way we judge everyone else? We'll get to that next.
Is it a must-win?
It's a must-win game next on Chinay Ngola Jr.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Settling in for 2 hours of fun here before we get you to tip-off, Game 1, the Eastern Conference. Heat Celtics, Heat culture on the line. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And we'll get to that in a few here. We'll also get to, coming up, a guest, obviously former Fighting Irish man himself. I guess he wasn't a teammate technically. He's a little bit younger. But Miles Boykin, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, who look locked in, who look activated to start the NFL season, going to join us in about 10 minutes here. But Chinay, we got the two best words in sports tonight. Game 7, Clippers. Saucy Nugs going at it. And I know you threw this out there before. Want to get into the way that we judge Kawhi and how different it is that we judge most other superstars. But you put it out there and lobbed it up to the timeline. Who's everyone got tonight? Have you gotten any compelling responses on this?
Well, we've got at Shell, the Anomaly. Clippers, I think they'll be locked in defensively all night. That's where the game is won. Kawhi will have a huge night. I think that he is the X factor. At K, I'm next. Denver, because they have no pressure and they are having all the confidence in the world with fun. Although Clippers should win, I like the Nuggets for Game 7 because unprecedented time calls for unprecedented results. And then, of course, Hannah Stuvenjin, Saucy Nugs win it, mostly because I want to call them Saucy Nugs.
And you know what? That's the only kind of reason you need around here in my world, is if you want to call them the Saucy Nugs, we want an excuse to play that sounder again of a man in Lincoln going to his city council protesting the name of boneless buffalo wings. I'm all for it, Chinay. That being said, their responses are great. Who do you have in Game 7 tonight?
So my heart sort of wants to reward the Nuggets just because they've done it. It was funny. There was a great moment between Malika Andrews and Jokic talking about how, oh, you know, you're going to a back-to-back Game 7 scenario. He's like, actually, the last four playoff series for us have been Game 7s. And in those series, you know, those elimination games, Jokic is 26 like points per game when his back's against the wall, 6-1 in those scenarios, which is kind of crazy so far, you know? So I want to think that the Nuggets have enough firepower, especially with Jokic playing his best basketball. But I do think, and I agree, Kawhi is the best player on the floor when he plays as such, when he digs down defensively, and also when he knows he has no option but to deliver. Kawhi will be the guy that everyone is watching tonight because he is the biggest catalyst for success. We saw that last year, you know, with Toronto. I think Paul George will be intentional. I think the bench, Montrezl Harrell and Lou will come out with more of a fire and more energy just because they've sort of been lacking that. It's Game 7. That's when you have to give your all. So I'm going with the Clippers, even though the Nuggets have had a huge run.
You know what? You mentioned Kawhi Leonard. It's the interesting one because I think it's reasonable. Like, I'm going with the Clippers on this one. We look, they're one of the three teams that we talked about heading into this postseason that looks built to win a championship. No disrespect to the Nuggets young core, but this is what you bring Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in town for, to quite frankly, hopefully help bail out Doc Rivers in this situation. The only coach to blow multiple 3-1 leads in the postseason now faces that potential hill again. And it feels weird when you bring up Kawhi Chanae because I feel like we don't grade him on the same curve we grade everybody else. Like, yeah, he's all time levels of great and has a chance to maybe win a finals MVP with a third team and do something no one else has ever done. But it feels like none of this legacy stuff touches him. I have a theory why, but I want to know why you think we judge him differently.
I think we judge him differently because that championship last year just seemed so difficult. I remember 2 years ago, the way we talked about Kawhi leaving San Antonio, he was almost like bad boy of the NBA, and then he falls to the Raptors, and then they have this tremendous special run. It's almost like LeBron in Cleveland. It's like, hey, you're welcome. Y'all good now? Okay, I can do whatever I want in the future. So I think the important part here when it comes to Kawhi is that he has a huge opportunity tonight. He has a huge opportunity. If he wins Game 7, obviously facing the Lakers. If he takes down the Lakers, do we have another guy that, based on his postseason, where you keep saying the metrics weigh in NBA based off of, you know, the postseason, the playoff runs, not necessarily the regular season, will we have a Kawhi that is now certified as maybe he actually is the best player in basketball, and it's no longer an underlying question that we refuse to answer?
I think that's interesting and worth noting on this because he has that LeBron-level, Cleveland-level championship from last year, and because he's just been so undeniable. The way he's grown into it, because he wasn't some sort of, you know, child prodigy like LeBron or any of these other guys that came up and out. He developed into this over time. I got a lot easier answer. It's the Spurs. Like, anything that touches or gets the Spurs on it all of a sudden gets excluded from these conversations. The Spurs and the run that they had with Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan there, the championships they won. We don't talk about them as one of the premier dynasties the way we do others in sports. Tim Duncan, we separate him off and say, oh yeah, best four of all time, but we don't involve him in any of the best big conversations or the all-time player conversations. And now we're doing it with Kawhi. It's something about the water down by the Riverwalk that just puts you to the side in like a very great category, esteemed company. But we're not willing to let you in a lot of these other ones or heap that same pressure on him.
Is it like that system quarterback narrative? Excuse me. Where like, oh, you know, like it's the system of the Spurs that are really, you can blame, you not blame, you can give credit to Pop, you can give credit to Tim, you can give credit to the Admiral, you can give credit to any, and it sort of diminishes the personal value of what they're actually doing.
I just think it's because they're so nice and they're non-abrasive and they're all really quiet and we don't really want to say anything wild or slanders, and the ever-presence of LeBron James. Like,
you're
he's
right.
Going to take all the shrapnel on that.
The more I think about it, who's been an outspoken Spur?
They don't
like really outspoken, like even on social media flexing.
They don't exist. Those things do not exist. So we're going to try and figure that out and keep exploring that as we head towards Game 7 tonight in the NBA. But coming up next, we got to dip back to the NFL, one of the best teams in football, and a guy who's catching balls from a quarterback that looks like he could go back-to-back on the MVP of Game 1's any indication. We'll get to that after this word from DraftKings. No better place to get in on all the gridiron action than DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Just pick your lineup, stand to the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Mine was terrible this weekend. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR and try and do better than I did. For limited time, new users going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out. Week 2 action this weekend. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Shanae Angola Jr.
Shanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
So, Shanae, every once in a while, this comes up in my family and conversation, and I want to know if it's true for you. It's
okay.
Shanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. I had this discussion the other day with my dad because he forgets from time to time. I am still actually on my parents' cell phone plan. Like, shout out to the family plan for whatever carrier that you've got holding it down for so many of us millennials. Are you in the same boat?
My parents pay for my phone bill, yes. I'm still on the family plan. And I'm proud of it. Shout out to my parents. Shout out to our parents. Okay, the real MVPs here.
Holding it down. You know what? Making it work for all the rest of us. And you know what? I wanted to get that out of the way to make sure that this is a welcoming space for our next guest. We're delighted to be joined by former Notre Dame wideout and current Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Miles Boykin now on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And Miles had a pretty cool deal with Xbox and with Madden because he tweeted this back on July 16th. My mom found out that I put my Xbox Live account on her credit card. She's been paying since I was in the sixth grade. Miles, take us inside that call from your mom when she finally found that out.
Man, it was kind of crazy because I was at home during the off season and I went to go log on and play Xbox, and it popped up on there and said like error with the account information or payment information. and her last four digits of her credit card popped up on there. So she was right. She was sitting right there, and she was like, "Wait a minute, like that's mine." I said, "Yeah, Ma, you've been paying for it since I don't know how long." And so I found out it was pretty much sixth grade, because the first time I got live, she ended up paying for it, and then it's just a reoccurring thing. So I never changed it.
And it, you know what? I want to remind people that this has a happy ending. If they're watching on ESPN News right now, they're seeing your mom gracing the cover of Madden 21 with a special gift set from Xbox. So walk us through how that came together, you and Xbox teaming up to help give your mom a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it was a really cool idea. A lot of props to them, just because, you know, obviously, you know, the tweet kind of sparked everything. But after that, you know, obviously my mom is a healthcare worker. She's a nurse. So they were able to kind of put a cool spin on it and be able to give back to not only her, but some of her coworkers as well.
So what has she been able to flex with her coworkers? How has it been for her getting that amazing gift?
Well, she gets an Xbox, and obviously she gets a free gaming pass, so she ain't got to pay for live anymore. But all of her coworkers are going to get the same thing, too. They all get to play games now.
An incredible gesture from all you guys. Really cool to see that come together, and that mom is finally off the Xbox Live payroll. As we talk to Miles Boykin, Baltimore Ravens wide receiver, with us here on Chennai and Golic Jr. So, Miles, you guys are 1-0 to start the season, but we know it took a lot to get there. So I'm curious for you, going into year two as a wideout in the NFL, how difficult was it to get ready for this amidst the most uncertain offseason we've ever seen?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, literally, you're just kind of working on faith. We're going into the facility every day, practicing, you know, doing whatever it takes, not even knowing if we're going to have a season. So for us, you know, we kind of just had to put the blinders on and just kind of focus on what was important, and that's just us as a team and us getting better as a team. Because, you know, even now, we don't know what's going to happen with the season. You know, it could always take a turn for the worse. But like I said, you know, we're just going to take it day to day at a time and game at a game at a time.
Miles, can you take us out there on the field? How is it like out there where you make a big play, you're on an amazing team, but there are no fans?
To be honest, the pregame is kind of where you notice it the most. You know, we're kind of running around there. It's like, man, this is weird. As soon as the game gets rolling, though, you know, you just having fun playing with your teammates. You know, that's what we all missed this whole offseason. So once we got back out there on the field, it kind of felt normal. But I think pregame is where it had the most effect. You know, it's kind of hard to get pumped up for a game when you don't have, you know, your fans there cheering you on.
It certainly looked that way, and just seeing some of the shots in the stadium for us as viewers, it was sort of eerie seeing that out there. But a lot to get excited about, I'd imagine, when you play with a guy like Lamar Jackson. Seeing him last year to this year, I know he was the MVP of the league last year, but game one, he looked dialed in a way that seemed even ratcheted up another level. What have you been seeing behind the scenes from the reigning MVP in year two now with him?
I mean, that dude is just special. You know, you can't describe somebody like that. He comes to work no matter, you know, obviously winning the MVP, there's nothing more he wants than a Super Bowl. So it doesn't matter about his MVP. It doesn't matter about his stats. The only thing he's concerned about is the Super Bowl, and that, you know, that the team kind of takes after that. You know, all we care about is a Super Bowl. I don't care about my stats. I just want a Super Bowl for this team. But we understand we have to do that 1 week at a time. And when you got a guy like that leading the way, I mean, I think anything's possible.
And so you guys get a great division win to start the season against the Browns. And for you, Miles, I'm curious, what's the, you know, a goal for you? You mentioned, obviously, as a team, you want to win the Super Bowl. But this year, for you, as a part of this passing game, such a dynamic offense, what are you trying to accomplish personally going into the season?
Yeah, obviously, I had my rookie season. I was on a great team. But now, you know, it's time for me to take it up another level. You know, I just want to be a bigger part of the offense and just be able to be counted on when needed. And, you know, obviously, as you saw in the last game, you know, we're spreading the ball around a lot. So for us, you know, I think that's definitely accomplishable. And, you know, obviously, I think we have big plans in the future. So, you know, I'm just excited for this season.
Here with Miles Boykin, second year receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And obviously, you know, the last few months have been difficult for everyone. And one of the beautiful things about sports is that it brings us together. And those locker room conversations are so important. Has there been a moment over the last few months, you know, building with this team that has sort of left an impact on you for positivity in the future?
All the time with this team. You know, I think we got a mature group of people that we can talk about anything. So, you know, we'll have those talks as a team. We're literally talking about anything. We had Zoom calls, had Zoom meetings about that. And then just recently, you know, we had times where we didn't have practice and we just got together and kind of talk about issues in the world today. But, you know, my favorite thing about football is the locker room and the locker room chemistry. You got people that come from all over the country, from different backgrounds. And, you know, I think a football locker room is perfect example for the rest of the world. I mean, like I said, we all come from different places, but we all get along. We have one goal. We all see each other as teammates and we all love each other as brothers. And I think that's the perfect example for the world today.
And Miles, I think that really shines through with your guys' team. And through this offseason, when we've seen so many important conversations in sports, it feels really like the Ravens have been leading the way on that. A powerful statement put out in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake and all of the conversations you guys had. I'm curious, what's those conversations been like in your locker room as so much has gone on this summer in the world of social justice?
Right. Like I said, I mean, I think the beauty of it is we don't have, you know, one person who describes the whole team. We have a whole team that saying, okay, look, this affected me this way or that way. And then you have another person saying the same thing. And then you just have people just, it gives you perspective. You know, I think it gives you perspective. And that's invaluable to me just because obviously, you know, I know how I feel about a certain situation, but you know, a lot of times you don't think about how somebody else might feel about a certain situation. And that's what helps you grow as a human being, to be honest, is to see things from other people's eyes. And that's what I love about this team. You know, everybody is there for each other and everybody respects each other and everybody hears each other out.
And certainly a lot to look forward to with the team you're a part of going into the rest of this season. Miles, we appreciate the time, man, and the insight. Best of luck going into the rest of the season. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Miles.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Baltimore Ravens wideout Miles Boykin with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Shanae Gold Jr. reminding you, tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. All right, coming up next, we talked to Miles about how you go about trying to prepare for sports like we've all been trying to leading up to this season amidst a global pandemic. How do you make comedy during all that? We'll ask our next guest when we come back. It's Shanae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Shanae and Gold Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Gold Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Our thanks to Miles Boykin for just hanging out with us, Baltimore Ravens wideout, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish member. We're delighted to go now to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This is a cool one. Hannibal Buress joins us now, comedian, actor. You can check out Miami Nights on YouTube. That dropped on July 3rd. And also head to HannibalBurress.com/tour as he goes on a drive-in comedy tour. And Hannibal, we appreciate the time. I'm curious, what does a drive-in comedy tour look like, making comedy in the middle of a global pandemic like this?
It looks like I go on stage. There's cars out there, a lot of headlights, and chaos. We'll see. I don't know. Bert Kreischer actually went out and did a tour with the same promoters, Hotbox, and he had a great time. People want to go do something, and drive-ins is one of the spots to do it right now, so I'm excited to see how it goes.
Hannibal, we spend so much time on this show talking about the impact of the climate we're in, you know, with social justice, but also just coronavirus and sports and how everything looks and feels so different. How have the last few months been for you?
For me, it's been a lot of being in the crib, thinking and working and writing and figuring out, you know, different ways to work and what skills to improve on and tools to use. That's really what it's been. And now I'm getting to you know, go head out and do some gigs for the first time in a while. I've done some smaller things over the past couple months, but yeah, it's the longest time I've gone without doing headlining show in probably 10 years, something like that, probably more. So very unique time for folks, and I'm excited to, you know, be doing shows. I'm excited when I get to go see something. Even little things mean so much more now. Even just going to, I'm thinking about going to see Tenet because I know all the movie theaters is empty. So I look at the seats on Fandango. That sounds like a plug, but I look And I'm like, okay, this theater's empty, so I can go in there and be safe. It's just a lot of panic. It's a lot of panic. People are panicked most of the time, and some people aren't.
Yeah,
I go back and forth between being panicked and being, you know, fearless. Like, at the beginning, I was kind of panicked, and then I shifted. But there's something. Remember when they did you ever wipe down your groceries in April?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still wipe down your groceries?
Nope.
Yes.
You still wipe down your groceries?
I do, Hannibal.
I'm not organized enough to keep wiping the groceries. I said, you know what? If the coronavirus come in on my groceries, then good game. Both teams played hard. It just wanted it more than I did if it came in on these Cheez-Its. Sorry.
Talking to Hannibal Buress, actor and comedian. Again, the drive-in tour going on starting in Cleveland on September 22nd. You can check out and find out the dates, HannibalBuress.com/tour. I'm curious, Hannibal, so much has changed. This feels like another lifetime ago, but you were in Chicago as part of the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game, and you actually got to go out there and give buckets to our own Stephen A. Smith's team. How'd that feel?
Well, I'm not one to exaggerate too much, so I did not give any buckets. I attempted, I think, two buckets, and I got no buckets. And that's all right, but I was helping out with strategy, you know what I mean? I was a player coach, I think, you know. I called for the trap on Quavo. I told Will Bond to do that. I got an uncredited assist. We didn't get an official box score on this one. I don't know what the Vegas line was, but it was a fun time to do that in the hometown, and it really is a crazy contrast to now, because it's obviously All-Star Weekend, and so much activity and things going on. To you know, you contrast that with now, damn, this is really crazy. But that was one of the last fun things I did, was All-Star Weekend.
You're right, Hannibal, here with Hannibal Buress, the comedian. Check out Miami Nights. I actually was on the call for that celebrity game. I don't know if you saw a tall sister running around the court.
I saw you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I saw you. I saw videos of you giving Rosenberg work.
You already know. Do you want to join the line or nah? You good?
Listen, I might pick your pocket, you know. I got quick hands.
Okay.
My feet are a little slow, but my hands, I might pick your pocket.
Okay, we'll have to set it up. Set it up. But you know what's interesting? You know, we were in Chicago. That's your hometown.
Yeah.
You know, we're ESPN. How are you feeling about the Bears and also the Bulls?
The Bears, you know what? I don't even watch that much football. I support Chicago teams, but I haven't, you know, invested much emotion in the Bears squad. If you offered me $10 million to name four or five players on the Bears, I would be, you know what? There's Trubisky, we got that new dude that's pretty good. He came through, and then I guess I just missed a life-changing amount of money. So that's where the Bulls, my parents are season ticket holders for the Bulls. And you just try to be optimistic. You just try to stay positive. That's how great the 90s were, where you still hope based on 96. Okay, maybe still it might, and you kind of know, you know, this ain't the year, but maybe it is, because, you know, things are starting. But we'll see. I know it's new management, got the new GM over there. We're going to see who we get as a coach. I don't know who the coaching options are. I know it's Steve Nash just got hired.
You know more than you think.
With the Bulls, I know what's going on. The Bears, I don't know. The Bears is too much going. It's 50-something players. It's too much to follow. I got ADD. I can't keep up. Our offensive line, we need somebody that can really do the pull block. I can't get caught up in pull block skills and all of that. But basketball, I know a little bit about what's going on. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. Probably peak out at 42 wins tops. That's the ceiling.
There we go. You heard the prediction here first. Let's see how it goes is kind of the mantra and the ethos right now for everything, including what I saw the press release for your tour. Check him out at HannibalBuress.com/tour. He's going to be out doing the drive-in tour with Mike Eagle. You can check out Miami Nights on YouTube. Hannibal, we appreciate the time, man. Looking forward to seeing
thanks,
more
Hannibal.
From you.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
I watched Miami Nights this morning, Chiney, And I have never cried laughing so hard thinking about 2 Chainz praying for a Bentley truck in my life.
Look, when he said something about the family tree, I was weak. It took me out. And it struck a chord, but it's okay. It's okay. It was hilarious. So yes, he is straight comedy.
By the way, I appreciate you turning it around on him. Usually when we have guests come on the show looking to challenge you, they're gunning at you and your basketball prowess. You had to goad him into it. He didn't back down, though. I'll give him credit.
No, he didn't. And he actually knows his strengths. He's like, you know what? Footwork might be slow, but I'll still bait you and pick your pocket. I'm here for it.
Self-proclaimed player coach, too. That's always a great title to give yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's funny. When are you going to ask to play one-on-one? That's my question.
Listen, I want zero problems here. Anyone who's seen me out on the court knows I'm good for one thing and one thing only, and that is 5 good fouls on this one. So a lot more than that we can expect coming up tonight, because we got game 7. We got pressure situations. It's a must win, not a just win. But who has the most pressure? We'll get to that next. It's Chenango Jr.